You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org. In his seminal book, Storms of Our Grandchildren, former NASA head scientist James Hansen predicted megastorms will sweep the Earth as climate change develops. When Hurricane Sandy flooded Manhattan and wrecked the New Jersey shore in late 2014, I produced the Radio EcoShock show, Storms of Right Now. After devastating hurricanes like Maria this year, New Englanders battered by three nor'easters in the past 2 weeks must be wondering, are we entering a more unstable world with bigger storms? Our regular science correspondent Paul Beckwith just posted a four-part YouTube video series with new science on just that question. Paul, what was James Hansen's story about bigger storms?
Well, James Hansen was basically saying there'd be a lot more temperature extremes, so higher temperature gradients, which then leads to higher pressure changes over shorter distances on the surface of the Earth. So this leads to very, very high winds. And when you get these high winds over a large body of water, for example, the North Atlantic, you get these very high winds over long distances, and you can get these big, large trains, if you like, wave trains, huge waves that will repeatedly beat on a shore. Now, of course, with sea level rise, with the storm surges, with land subsidence, all of these things add up with the wave on top of them, and you can really batter coastlines. He looked at actually some large rocks that were found many meters above the high water mark on some different islands. And it seemed that you would need massive wave trains of, you know, waves approaching 100 foot, 20 to 30 meters high that would be required in order to send these rocks up to high levels.
So maybe strong storms are happening already. Paul, talk to us about the stones on the Northern Irish coast.
Yes. So there's been a couple very interesting papers that have just been published recently on studies that have been carried out over many years, looking at the Irish coastline, the West Ireland, facing the, you know, open Atlantic, and also off the French coastline, there was another study. So the Irish study had a professor and his grad students going to a remote region and documenting the locations of all the rocks, basically, on the coastline. So there were areas of coastline where there was mostly bedrock coastlines. One area had a low slope going up to a higher elevation. Another area had these sheer cliffs. So they documented where all the rocks and stones and boulders, et cetera, were, you know, the major ones. They took a lot of pictures of the configuration. And then they went back year after year, and they found that after a series of storms in 2012, 2013, 2014, that a lot of the rocks, the large boulders and rocks, had been moved. And the French coastline was also looked at in the same period. It used a different technique. A kite was flown off the coastline with a camera suspended, imaging, taking high-resolution images just of the coastline of where all the rocks were and so on. This was done year after year. And then these images were subtracted to see how things had changed. And significant rock movement had occurred on both coastlines just from storms that we're getting today.
How big were the stones that were moved in Ireland?
The largest boulder weighed 620 metric tons, which is a phenomenal weight, very, very large stone. And there were about a dozen or so rocks or boulders that weighed over 100 metric tons that were moved just in the winter storms in one season, 2013-2014 storms. And from about November 2013 to February 2014 or so, there were a repeated number of storms hitting the coastlines of Europe, and it was enough to significantly move these massive rocks, which is exactly what Hansen was talking about.
But previously, you said in the video, people thought that these rocks had been moved by tsunamis long ago.
Yes, that's right. So the frequency of occurrence of tsunamis is, of course, they're much, much rarer than, you know, these nor'easters, these northern Atlantic storms that we get. We're talking about a different beast here. we're talking about an underwater earthquake, perhaps causing a tsunami, or some ideas are that massive calving of ice on Greenland would send these massive blocks of ice breaking off into the water, causing tsunamis. We saw some of that happening in off the coast of Greenland not too long ago, where the tsunami hit a village on the other side of the bay. So, of course, tsunami waves will reconfigure a coastline clearly, but these rocks, both on the Irish coast and the French coast, are being moved by what are very common everyday sort of storms that are occurring in today's more violent climate. One of the kickers, one of the things that was interesting is that some of these massive rocks, there's so much plastic in the ocean that some of these massive rocks have moved and actually crushed plastic bottles and things underneath them. So obviously they moved fairly recently.
I'd like to toss in a question that you asked in video 3 in your recent series. How does a scientist find out how much energy is in a storm that hits a coastline?
There's a couple of different ways of doing it. Well, one of the things that they look at is if you do have a record of all of the movements of rocks and things, if you know their starting positions and you know their ending positions, you can calculate the change in potential energy of this mass being moved uphill, and you can just calculate the potential energy change, and that would be the minimum kinetic energy that was put into the rock. You'd also have some energy loss to friction, pieces of rock breaking off, etc. But if you look at from wave heights, there's different types of wave theories that allow you to calculate the energy that is in, say, a wave train, for example. You know, whether the waves are electromagnetic waves, like light or radio waves, or whether they're physical waves on the ocean. So it's basically the volume of water. But it's clear that there's some nonlinear effects going on because standard wave theory didn't show that these rocks could be moved with the given wave heights that we've been seeing.
Well, we've got storms battering rocks out of cliffs in North Ireland or Brittany, and there was another study in your series in Italy, even in the Mediterranean. But does it really matter? Does any of this indicate bigger storms with greater wave energy could hit cities?
Well, this is the whole point of these studies. You know, somebody might ask, you know, why is this important? You know, these are coastlines that are kind of remote. There's not, you know, people aren't living on these coastlines. The problem is that we're getting all of these compounding effects that are wreaking havoc on coastlines. So some coastlines are undergoing significant subsidence, for example, New Orleans, and most recently in the news was the subsidence of San Francisco. So when you have very large weights of massive cities being built on bedrock, over a long period of time, you know, the bedrock can actually strain and decrease. But normally it's not that type of weight. It's the weight from, like in the case of New Orleans, it's the rivers that bring huge amounts of sediments, and they deposit it on coastlines, and that weight can cause subsidence of that coastline. So subsidence is an issue. Sea level rise is exponentially increasing. We're about 3.4, 3.5 millimeters per year, and that's increasing. Most of that rise is due to expansion of seawater as it's warming, but the component from melting glaciers is large. Also, it's the component from Greenland and Antarctic ice melts is increasing exponentially. It's roughly doubling with this. Every 7 to 10 years, it's doubling. Also, when you get a storm surge, you get the wind pushing the water against shallow coastlines, and the sea level rises from that water being pushed up against the coastline. Then you can have king tides as well. So, you know, depending on the timing of when these storms are hitting, you can have all of these effects. And then on top of that, you can get these massive waves. So there's buoys offshore that are recording waves off Ireland, for example. They were seeing waves that were 25 meters, even approaching close to 30 meters high. You also get, you know, the physics of waves. When you have a whole bunch of waves coming, you can get constructive interference of multiple waves combining. And this gives you these so-called rogue waves, which can be over 100 feet high, you know, well over 30 plus meters high. And you could do the statistics of the waves and divide the height of the waves into three categories, the smallest third, the middle third, and the highest third. So if you take the highest third, that's a significant wave height. And the statistic shows that about 1% of all the waves are going to be 1.7 times the significant wave height. And you're going to get rogue waves that are double the significant wave height. So we're seeing significant wave heights of, you know, 15 meters, that sort of thing. So that means the rogue waves will be 30 meters. And so 1% of the waves will be over 23 meters high. So based on that distribution, we can get a good idea for how much energy is in these storms. So when people worry about cities being flooded out by sea level rise and all these other things, what's really going to happen is it's going to be a storm on top of king tides, on top of the storm surge, on top of sea level rise. It's just going to completely batter a city, you know, when all the conditions are not favorable to that particular city. So that city succumbs to the climate casino, you know, that the there's this climate casino element that, you know, different cities are at different levels of risk.
And it's just a matter of time till some of those things combine, as did happen to a certain degree with Hurricane Sandy. And we think of the billions and billions of dollars trying to rebuild after Hurricanes Harvey and Irma and after Hurricane Maria. There are still a million people in Puerto Rico without power. My worry, and it's not just my worry, is that if we get more and more powerful storms, there comes a point where we are broke. We can't raise the money or the workforce to rebuild. I guess at that point, we just retreat from the coast.
Yes, I mean, this is the big issue, that the damages from these storms is skyrocketing, and it means that insurance companies just will not be able to insure people that have houses in these regions. And, you know, when a region is hammered or destroyed by a storm, there just won't be the money to rebuild it. And, you know, one could argue that this is already happening in different places around the world. Countries are at all different level of resilience, financial resilience to these storms. You know, the wealthier countries can rebuild. But, you know, look at Puerto Rico. I mean, it's part of the U.S. You know, it was devastated. And as you said, lots of people are still without power, without potable water. Some of the Caribbean islands, I mean, I haven't heard anything about Dominica, for example. Like 2,000 people were on that island. Everything was completely destroyed. You know, are they rebuilding it? I don't know if there's people on the island at the moment that are rebuilding or not. I mean, they just moved over to a neighboring island. So when people talk about like civilization collapse, or, you know, people tend to think in an all or nothing way, but that's not how things work. There's always a gray area. And right now it's arguable that countries are being destroyed by climate change. I mean, look at the drought in Syria and look what happened. All the knock-on effects, the military says climate change is a threat multiplier.
Big storms are something to watch, and I really appreciate getting this insight from you today. Everyone can keep up their climate science education by watching the YouTubes posted by our guest, Canadian climate scientist Paul Beckwith. You can go to YouTube and just type Paul's name in the search box, or you can get the latest at his website, paulbeckwith.net. We are out of time. Find links to all the science and people in my weekly show blog, published Wednesdays, at ecoshock.org. Thank you for listening and caring about our world.